We're so glad you're here this morning. It is a special day. It's always a special day when we're together with one another. And we are thankful for those ladies and those mothers and grandmothers in our life that have meant so much to us. And I was even thinking as we had our muffins for mom this morning, our muffins for moms, and just a little small way to show how much we love you ladies. And I was thinking, what in the world would our churches be like without godly ladies? So many churches, women are having to step up so often and so much, even in all various types of roles, just so the church will stay afloat and continue to do and be the body of believers that the Lord calls them to be. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 112, verse 2. 1 and 2. Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2. We're going to talk about family and children this morning. And I tell you, I'm having all kind of trouble this morning with this microphone. It is overwhelming to think about raising kids these days. As y'all know, we're expecting our fourth one. And I'm thinking that, you know, thankfully, because of the grace of God, we've got three over here. But I think I'll do a better job on my fourth one. Maybe. I won't have quite the same amount of energy, but I will have. Does anybody feel overwhelmed? Moms and dads, do y'all ever feel overwhelmed trying to raise children? I tell you, we need a support group. We need to continue to encourage one another, help one another. We need rallies. We need seminars. We need small groups. And we need godly people around us to help us with this high calling. No greater calling than to raise our children and to raise them for the Lord. And it's overwhelming, it's humbling, it's scary. As we joke, they don't come with manuals. Everyone's different. They mature different. They process things different. They have different personalities. You speak to one of them and they, yes, sir, daddy, you speak to the other one and they cry to you. They cry. You don't know, you know, you some of them you have to be a little more firm with. Some of them you don't have to, they seem to kind of get it after once. Some of them they seem like they're never going to get it. But you keep pressing on, and man, I tell you, it puts us before the Lord, doesn't it? It puts us before the Lord, because man, without His grace and without His strength and without the wisdom that He gives, we are at a loss in how to raise these children. So we'll call it raising children to be mighty in the land. Now, I know that I've been around English enough to know that you don't raise children, you rear children. But if I thought that, some of you would overthink it, and then we could say rearing children, but raising children to be mighty in the land. If you would stand with me, we're going to read this couple verses that just have to do with the offspring of the upright or mighty in the land. The psalmist says in Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Father, would you help us to see clearly this morning how to love you and to serve you, to follow you, to Lord, to fear you. Lord, to stand in awe of you and your great attributes, your characteristics, to humble ourselves before you. And Lord, in light of who you are, to be diligent with the stewardship that you've given us in raising children. Lord, thank you for our godly ladies, for our godly men, for the family unit that you give us to protect us, to know you even better. And Lord, help us this day to hear from you and to respond appropriately. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm just going to give you some practical ways this morning to help us and to encourage you in raising children. I was really influenced in this message. I heard Adrian Rogers in a couple of messages that he preached. And I was really encouraged by him. And Adrian Rogers is with the Lord now, but preaching even back in the 90s and 2000s, even in the 80s, like and listening to some of the messages that he taught, children are still struggling with the same things of the day that he grew up in and was trying to raise children. In some practical examples this morning, we're going to look at things that, and one of the things he talked about was loving, and this is not what we're going to do, but loving our children unconditionally, lifting them up, it means encouraging them continually, limiting them, setting restrictions. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means to limit our children. Setting restrictions for them. Leading our children this morning. How do we lead our children? How do we set a godly example? And then lastly, in one of his messages, and we're going to go to a different order this morning, but it kind of gives you a little idea of where we're going and things we're thinking about. Laughing with our children. He talks about the home should be a place with laughter and with friends coming over to be with the friends and not so caught up on keeping the living room clean as much as laughing a lot. I like that. Now, I'm a cleanly person, and I like for things to be neat. And I can hear my mom right now, take those shoes off, son. You know, don't throw in the ball in the living room. And we had our limit. We had those restrictions. But we had a happy home as well. I sometimes talk about Anna. You know, I love having friends over, love having a revolving door open, but with that comes the messes. With that comes the stuff being drug out and the toys every which way. Brother Ken can relate to that when he has all the grandkids over. And sometimes you just have to scratch your head and say, Lord, help me. And you just have to try to be happy in the midst of all the chaos. All right? We're going to talk about things like that this morning. The first thing I want to talk to you in raising children, be mighty in the land, raising godly children, I want to talk to you about the example. Let's give them an example. Proverbs 1, 7 to 9. Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. And talks about that. And I was encouraged. The kids talked about wisdom this morning. And as I studied for this lesson, a lot of my references went to Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, which talks about godly wisdom. How can we raise children without leaning on the Lord and His wisdom, with His direction, with His discernment, helping us know how to discipline our kids, how to teach with proper authority from God's Word. And so wisdom is so important as we try to lead our children. We find that in the first chapters of the book of Proverbs. So we're talking about giving them a godly example. Proverbs 1, 7 through 9, Solomon in his wisdom says this. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. This is a beautiful ornament necklace around your neck. Graceful garland for your head. The writer Solomon is saying, he says, my son, your father's instruction, hear your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's law or your mother's teaching. We know that, and we may look at Deuteronomy 6 in a little bit, when God gave the instruction to the people of Israel to teach their children in their home, to write down the law, the statutes, to learn them, to memorize them, to place them around their doorposts, to make sure they were visible. There was proper teaching. The Lord gave the men and the ladies to teach their children. Why? To protect them, to lead them, to show proper love to them. Guys, as we think about our children, as we see our decorations for Bible school here, guys, the number one leader and example for our children are you, moms and dads. It's great that we send our kids to church twice a week. And I'm so grateful that we had over 80 kids at Bible school this week. My prayer is that those kids are in church this morning. But my greater prayer is that their moms and dads are teaching them each day how to walk with the Lord. Because I can tell you right now that one or two times a week of sending your children to church is not enough. It's not enough. So the first thing we have to do for our children, we set a godly example for them. Your kids don't expect you to be perfect. They already know you're not perfect, all right? But they do want you to be real and genuine. And I can tell you guys, your children can see right through you when you blow it, when you have those fights, when you do things that you're not proud of. Own up to it. Confess it. Let them see your genuine vertical relationship with the one true and living God. Ask them to forgive you. Ask the Lord to forgive you in front of them. Let them see your messes, because they already do. And let them see God's grace and love, unconditional love, even in the midst of that. They know it, guys. Children will watch to see how their parents handle their own mess ups and failures. There are many things that children cannot learn any other way than from their parents, through demonstration. Right? There's certain things they're not going to learn in school. Right? They need to see your example. So many times children and parents are so interested in their children's sports and their hobbies and their activities and their ability. You know, we're getting ready to the end of the year and they're giving out awards at school, and so many parents are so ready to go see their kids get awards. And others are going, man, I wish my child got an award. All right, we're proud of our children, right? And we value certain things that we should value. But guys, what should we value the most? Their characteristics, as I said, that they're not going to learn in school and that parents need to teach them. Listen to some of these things that we should be modeling and teaching our children. Contentment, courage, courtesy, discernment, fairness, friendliness, generosity, gentleness, hopefulness, honesty, humility, kindness, obedience, orderliness, patience, persistence, self-control, tact, thankfulness, tidiness, wisdom. Are your kids learning all of these in school? Do you think the 1 or 2 hours we get with them at church each week is going to teach them all of these things? It's important for us to teach them in light of who Jesus is and what He's done for them and their relationship with Him, to teach them these character traits. And they're not so much taught as they are caught. How do we model these things for them? We owe our kids an example. Secondly, let's give our children unconditional love. Unconditional love, not conditional love. You know, we'd sing the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. We talk about God's unconditional love. Moms and dads, we need to teach our children and love our children and help them to see we love them in light of who they are. And guys, I'll tell you, I'm going to give you some practical ways that we can show them unconditional love. Many fathers didn't learn. My dad, for instance, he grew up without a father. How does he learn to show how a father loves? He learns from his Heavenly Father. And we've got to break the cycle, guys. We've got to break the curse of a generation of people that may not know how to love unconditionally. All right, we need more mentors. We need people walking with the Lord to help, teach, instruct, to care, and to break that cycle. Certain ways we do this is, one of the things is physical affection. I may be over the top with this, guys, and I'm thankful to see some of the things and read certain things that I see. We need to hug our children. We need to be physical with them. I mean, my little boy comes by me all the time. I know he gets tired of my little girls. I grab him around. I put him in a headlock. I lean down on him. I love my children, and I don't do a lot of things right, but I feel like I'm hugging all over my kids all the time. Y'all may see that. I grab them, I kiss the top of their heads, and my little girl right now, who's just so close to being a teenager, she's going to be 13, gosh, in a month or two, she's too cool for all this, y'all. I realize I'm getting to that age, she's getting to that age, and sometimes you got to catch her in the right mood where she'll let daddy love on her a little bit. Now, my little 8-year-old Bethany, she'll come get up in daddy's lap, she'll let me love all over, they think I like her more. And I said, I don't necessarily think I love her anymore, guys. She's at that age where she needs her daddy. She wants her daddy. She don't know it all yet, right? She wants to come learn from daddy. Daddy says something, she says, yes, sir. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, my little Savannah, I love her. Me and Savannah, we got to go out there. I see her rolling her eyes over there. Y'all have to. I took her out. There's just ways. You try to be close to all of them in certain ways and do certain things to care about them and show them that you love them. And I'm going to tell you, one of the first things, remember the prodigal son when he came home. Remember the dad, he went and he says he hugged him around his neck and he kissed his head. Can you imagine the embrace that the father showed the prodigal son, which I think is a portrait of the father pursuing his children and calling his children and loving his children. All right, physical affection and attention, y'all, we need that. Charles Swindoll even talks about the young ladies and their promiscuity, and their it comes a lot because their dads have not shown them the proper love and affection that they need to show them. And he writes about the correlation of ladies that find that affection in a young man's arms very early, even before they meet their husbands, because they're craving that physical attention. Hug your children. Hug your children, love your children, kiss your children unconditionally. Demonstrating affection to sons and daughters. Don't stop once they reach adolescence. My little girl gets on to me a lot. Daddy, stop. I love her. I put my arms around her. I kiss her when I can. Continue to do that. They will love you for it. They will emulate your example when God gives them their own family. Y'all think about that. Your children, the only way they know how family works, and Anna and I, we realized we were a lot different as we got married, and you have to work, young married couples, when we do counseling and we see them, they have to work through that a little bit. Because you grow up in different homes, and you know, if you have an older father that grew up in a certain generation, they weren't the most physical people. Now, I remember my dad, though he was a big man, 6'4", 260 pounds. He was a contractor, builder. He would go and he would work all day. When he'd come in tired, and he would sit down, and we would just crawl up in his lap. He told me later on in life, he said, son, he said, a lot of times I'd come in so tired, and he said, I'd just lay down in the floor, and y'all would crawl all over me. He said, we'd call it wrestling. All right, that was our way. We fought over who was going to sit by my dad. We fought over who would get the ride next to him. We fought at church. I can remember us sitting in daddy's lap. All right, it's just something about sons and daughters. They crave the attention of moms and dads, and you guys know what I mean. And some of that older generation, now my dad got older in life, and I'd go up to give him a hug. He said, son, he'd shake my hand, and he would talk about how, shake my hand, you know, son. And I guess that, I don't know, I guess he was reverting back to some of that the way his dad or his uncles were. You know, they grew up hard. There's nothing wrong with showing physical attention to your children, and you need to. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4. I'll read it to you. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4 says this. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender. It says tender, the only one in the sight of many of my mother. He taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. And we could say more about that. A blessing was you know, one of the things that before we get into that, actually. So physical affection, comfort. Y'all, comfort is another way we show unconditional love. Sometimes, you know, your problems may not seem big to you. Your children's problems may not seem big to you, but they're big to the child. Savannah and I actually went out the other night, and it was so good, y'all. The next thing I'm going to say about unconditional love is listening to them. So comfort and listening. And I noticed that it was certain times when we went out, and man, we went out to the Cheesecake Factory. I just said to myself, whatever she wants to do tonight, we're going to do. And she told me, she said, Daddy, I love the fact that you're letting me do whatever I want to do tonight, wherever I want to go. We was at Bridge Street. We went to a candy store. We saw a gummy bear this big. We saw a gummy worm this long. And we spent $11, $12 just on gummy worms and candy. All right? We went to this macaron. What do you call those things we got, Savannah? Macarons. I don't even know what a macaron is. We went to a macaron store, and we give $17 for six little old macarons. And I ate one, and I thought, what in the world is that? But she liked them, and she wanted to go there. So that's where we went. Well, we got to coming home, and man, she got to talking, and we had the best time. There were things that I knew that's been on her heart that's been bothering her in relation to the things she's going through at school. And she talked about some things, and she opened up about some things, and I could see that there was expectations, and there was things that she feared. And they were real, and they were big to her. Daddy, what if I don't play softball next year? How are you going to feel about that? Well, baby, I love you. I don't care if you ever play softball again. You know, our children need to know that you love them unconditionally. If you were the band major and they never go to the band, you still love them. If they get that B and you wanted them to have all A honor roll, you still love them unconditionally. No matter who they, no matter what, they're going to have different personalities. They're going to have different things they like. If you were the star football player and they want to go blow the flute, then encourage them to go blow the flute. How many parents are trying to live their lives through their children and forcing them and putting expectations in? And y'all, it can be very sad. It can be very sad. I see it. Working with teenagers so many years, I see that, and it happens. Praise them. There's the difference between praise and encouragement. So thirdly, unconditional love is give them constant encouragement. All right, give them constant encouragement. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26 says this. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way surely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Our children need the things we've talked about, an example, unconditional love, but they need constant, they need also constant encouragement. They need wise instruction. One of the most common requests we have of our Heavenly Father is to be blessed. You know, one of the things we can do is bless our children. Just in Jesus' name, just speak blessings on them. We were talking the other night, and that was one of the things that we got the chance to do, and we talked about, and after she opened up some things, we had prayer over different things, and how often do we just speak words of life over our children? We just tell them who they are, who God calls them to be. That's where they're going to find their confidence and their surety in a world where everybody fears everything. And they're here, all the negativity, all the news networks, and everybody that's got a Twitter handle is a conspiracy theorist, and the world's coming to an end, and diseases are all around us, and earthquakes and storms and disasters, and we can go on and on and on and on and on. Kids are nervous. They're scared. Where do they find their confidence? Where do they find their hope? Where are they grounded? We need to encourage them constantly, and we need to give them wise instruction as well. I remember my dad, and I'll never forget, just at our wedding, you know, we had a wedding rehearsal dinner, and he had written a letter, and just right there in front of a huge party of people out there in Birmingham at the Galleria at a nice place, he just shared things about me, and it was such a blessing to me. It was such a something that I hold on to me. Right there in front of a lot of people he didn't know, he just stood up, and he read things that he had taken time to write, and it was encouragement to me. Y'all, our children need to hear moms and dads speak to them and listen to them. And that was one of the things about the unconditional love is providing a listening ear. When they ask you questions, no matter how silly you think they are, humor them. Try to answer them. And then stop and listen and ask them questions and listen to them. The difference between praise and encouragement. We often praise a child for something they have done. Hey, that's great. You made all A's. For instance, for getting all A's, for winning a ball game. Praise is often based on achievement. When we encourage a child, we might say, I know you didn't make straight A's, but I saw you study and do your homework, and I'm grateful for that. I really believe that you tried your best. Encouragement says, I love you and I'm grateful for you, not necessarily because you achieved, but because of who you are. Who you are. We know we always look for reasons to speak down to the child. Why don't we look for reasons to praise them and encourage them? Look for positive things. Surely we can find something. Surely. Surely we can find something. So we moved on to also, as I told you, I already started mentioning, in looking at the text, it talks about wise instruction. Proverbs 2, 1 through 7. Proverbs 2, and this is Solomon. Wise instruction is always joined to training. Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. One of the things in looking at wise instruction is thinking about family worship. Thinking about the times you spend with your family to try to encourage them, to point them to Christ. And that looks different for different families. You know, some people say, well, I do it at night before I go to bed. Well, night don't work for us too well. We try to do it early in the morning while they're still a little bit alert and or they're still going, and we just make it a commitment to be in there in the living room by 7:15. We're so fortunate to have a school we can almost hit a rock with. We have a line we can swing through and be back in about 1 to 2 minutes. And I know not every family has that privilege. You have to wait in 2 or 3 different lines for 2 or 3 different kids, and it takes you an hour to get your kids dropped off at school. I don't envy you. All right, we are so blessed to be able to get them in that school and get them right out. So I tell them, at 7:15, you're going to be downstairs. I'm downstairs. We only have one floor. I'm thinking about my home. We had an upstairs. You're to be in the living room on the couch with your bags sitting beside the door. And if they don't have that, then if they're not ready to leave from that area, then they don't get their, then they have their consequences. They don't get their phone or their video, whatever they like to do. It's just that we just build it in our program. We build it in. And we've been going through the scriptures and through different books of the Bible. But one of the things somebody was encouraged, I thought it was great, in talking about sound wisdom and wise teaching and instruction, maybe, you know, the book of Proverbs correlates with the 31 days in a month, the 30 days in a month. There's 31 Proverbs. Pick a proverb for each day. Go through it. Let the kids ask questions. Teach them about wisdom. Teach them about knowledge. Teach them about understanding the ways of the Lord, the different characteristics of a God who loves them. And then point them to Christ in those times. How do you give them wise instruction? No one ever learned how to play football by merely reading a book. So, you know, wise instruction is also with training, with teaching. How do you model these things for them? Try to you train someone to play football? How do you train them to It's not a promise. There are some parents that have tried to do everything right. They've sought the Lord, and their children are still in rebellion. All right? They've got a free will. They've got they're born in sin. And some of them, you say, we talk about sowing wild oats. We don't understand all the expressions, but we know a lot of times children will go out for a while, and we pray that God will bring them back, and we pray that they'll come back. And sometimes they may not. But we need to point them, and we need to pray, and we need to seek that for them. But just reinforcing what I said earlier, the prime educational institution is the home. It's the home. And surely as Christians, we understand that. My kids this past week, even from Fallville High School, and I know the teacher, and he's a Christian man. My daughter brings a little science sheet out, and it's got these little embryos on it, and it's got all these pictures. How these things are growing into these, it was a real easy assignment because all you do is guess. I said, we can't mark off because all you're going to do is guess. That's going to be a chicken. That's going to be a human. That's going to be a, well, you know what they're teaching? They're teaching a form of evolution. You know, from this single cell or from these one cells, all of these things grow. And I'm like, that's silliness, and we know that. And the science teacher that actually handed it to them knows that. But your kids, you see my point. Your kids are being exposed to this type of stuff. If you're not screaming louder in the home than people are screaming in our school systems all over Alabama and even in Morgan County, and even if you're not talking louder and you're not teaching your children, guess who is going to teach them? Somebody's going to teach them. And they're going to come up with these cool, strange ideas, and they're going to go off to college, and they're going to have stranger ideas, and you're going to shake your head and say, what in the world happened? Where did I go wrong? You better take time in the homes, moms and dads. And you better give them some foundational truths based on the scriptures, and you better make it a priority. And in that love, and that unconditional love, and that wise teaching, and the training, there comes a time also where we are. I lost my train of thought, but it had something to do with discipline, with correction, and that actually the next point I'm going to go. Oh, I know what it was. It's not easy. Me and my wife, we have frustrating times about it all the time. I don't know if you can call it arguments, but it turns into arguments sometimes because the easy thing to do is to take this out of our pocket or get that iPad and hand it to them and say, well, we haven't seen little Bobby in 3 hours. Well, wonder why? He's on your phone doing who knows what. And guys, we laugh about it, but it really is a problem. It's affecting their attention. People say, I don't know why my kid can't behave in school. I don't know why he can't focus. I don't know why the teacher, he keeps lashing out, and he
And I've seen a direct relationship with my children and screen time and the time they get on that. They are different children, and they'll tell you that. They'll admit to it. They're different children when they have more time on these electronics. You say, well, I'm busy. What, doing what? Well, I got things to do. I was tired. I was sleeping. Well, I was watching that ball game. Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't have the energy. I was tired after a long day of work. Guys, raising children is not easy. And if you don't put forth the effort into it, someone will raise them. Some people will raise them for you. And I feel like that's happening all throughout society. We went on a field trip this week, and I was fortunate to get to ride with one of the coaches. He said, Stephen, he said, you wouldn't believe the things. We talked everything from about dress codes. I said, man, what in the world is going on? He said, Stephen, it's terrible. He said, you need to say something. And I talked to some of the administrators. They say, man, we got bigger things to talk about than dress codes. I'm like, well, I know, but if a girl's sitting there with her legs up and she's right in front of you, I don't want my little boy. I know how guys work. I know how things happen. Everything from the way they dress to the way they act. He said, you wouldn't believe the things we see, the things that are going on. He said, the activity that's happening sexually, you know, he said, I'm trying to coach teams. I'm trying to teach them certain things. And when certain things are happening, he said, the boys and the girls, their whole lives are changed. He said, you can't tell them anything. You can't teach them anything. If we aren't teaching our children, someone else is going to teach them. Moms, what a beautiful responsibility you have. Dads, you know, this is right between Mother's Day and Father's Day. I got to thinking, I've already got two sermon series going with our Bible school activities, with our Colossians 3. As I prepared this, I'm thinking we need to do a whole series on the family, and we need to do a whole series on raising godly children, because it's such a noble task and responsibility, and I feel like we're all trying to paddle to stay above water in this regard. So give them reasonable restriction. Give them a listening ear. Something I wrote down. As parents, we need to stop trying to win popularity contests and do what's best for our children. You know, and reasonable restrictions, set limits. Have rules. And they don't have to be a lot of little rules, but some big rules. Honesty ought to be a rule. Hey, you don't tell lies. Respect ought to be a big rule. We respect authority. All right, if you don't teach them that, well, you wonder why we got people shooting cops out there. People have absolutely no regard for any kind of authority. Used to in the school system, if I got in trouble at school, I was going to get a whipping at home. Now their mamas run up to the school and say, what did little Joe do? Y'all must have seen him wrong. You didn't see it right. My kid would never cheat on a test. I mean, parents literally don't think their children do anything wrong these days. And if they do, they're still going to side with little Joe. Guys, we ought to be teaching our children. We ought to be setting parameters for them and helping them, keeping them in these parameters. I mean, these limits. These limitations don't bind a child. They actually set them free. My kids want to know the rules. They want to know the parameters. They want to know how far they can go. Now, sure, they're going to push the envelope, but they don't feel like you care about them. I've taught the kids, and they see that my kids have limits and rules, and I've seen other kids, and it's kind of sad. They're like, well, my mama makes me go to bed. Yeah, she puts me to bed at 10, 9 o'clock, too. Knowing that child, they never have bedtime. But the poor children say that they have limits because they feel unloved. Not giving your children limits and guidelines makes them feel like you don't care about them. One of the worst things that ever happened to me was a mentor and leader of mine that got frustrated and something that was misunderstood. He said, you know, that thing was going through, don't even worry about it. That book we was reading together, don't worry about reading that book. I don't care. Do your own thing. And he was out of line. But what he did was basically was saying, in a sense, you know, we were trying to grow and learn. I was trying to teach you things. And it was someone that I thought had my best interest in mind. He really didn't. He was just trying to keep me under his thumb, and that happens a lot of times, even with parents. And it was very hurtful for him to say, don't worry about it. You go do your thing. I'll do my thing. It doesn't matter. Children, when you say that to them, when you hand them these things, when you give them these things, when you send them out, when you see them early in the morning, you may see them at lunch, may see them at dinner, when they don't have proper guidelines, they feel like they're unloved. And they're not free to live within these limits. So give them correction, give them discipline, give them reasonable restrictions, and help them be free in those. And if those restrictions get to moving, they do feel unloved.
So stop trying to win the popularity contest and do what's best for the children. Give them a listening ear. Proverbs 18, 13 to 15, for the sake of time, you can go read that if you want to write it down. Proverbs 18, 13 to 15, it talks about that. Listen when our children want to talk, especially as they get older. They don't always want to talk. When they decide to talk, I don't care if it's 11 or 12 at night, listen. Try to be open to that. Take them out to dinner. Give an opportunity for them to talk. Set up times where you help them to feel you value them. You talk to them. You encourage them. You listen to them. You value the things that they have, the questions they have, the fears they have. And then lastly, in looking at just these things, as I told you, that in the loving, never did turn it on. Yep. All right. Oh, it cut it out. Okay. I heard a little bit of thing. I said, what's going on? I'm like, never. Well, it's out. So the battery went out. Well, it's good. You got me right here, right? So lastly, give them a happy environment. In the loving, in the lifting, in the limiting, in the leading, the laughing, it's important. Give them a happy environment. Proverbs 15, 13 through 17. Proverbs 15, 13 through 17. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. I love what Adrian Rogers says. He basically says that, how did he put it? He says, a vegetable plate is better than a steak dinner if you have love, joy, and happiness. A vegetable plate's better than a steak dinner if you have love, joy, and happiness. Let your home be filled with laughter and fun. When raising kids, be firm, be fair, be fun. When a person's spirit is broken, then the spark, the zest, the enthusiasm, and the fight are gone. You know, the Bible talks about, warns about this, in not provoking your children to anger. We see that in Colossians 3. We also see it in Ephesians 5:4. You know, God believes in laughter. God gave Sarah a son named Isaac. The name Isaac means laughter. Of course, we know that she laughed when God said she would have a son. We need to learn to laugh at ourselves. I was with some children the other day, and we actually had a little girl over at Bethany's friends, and she was at our house, and she said, your family's happy, or something along those lines. She said, do you remember that? She said, why are y'all always so happy? And I heard that, even as I was going out over there, and I thought, what a great compliment to say that our people, that ain't always the case, but we're like the typical home. We got our fusses and fights. But this little girl, at least for the time, felt like we were happy people. And I would like to think that. I love getting, I was supposed to help with Fun Day. I love going to the school. I love getting in the speaking about the physical affection, just speaking about everything from kids that want to listen. I was the dugout dad the other day. One of the moms couldn't be in there, and they said, who could be in the dugout? And I went in the dugout. They probably never had me in the dugout again you, because somebody's going to listen to them. Somebody's going to invest in them. And if you're not doing it, you just never know where they might end up. I'll give you a little funny illustration as we close. And just thinking about a family, an ideal ideally, God wants everyone to have three homes, a family home, a church home, and a heavenly home. And we talk about the gospel. You know, I've given you a lot of practical information today, but the truth of the matter, Jesus makes all the difference. And Christ being the head of your home, being the head of your church, and being the one we focus on even as we seek to go to our heavenly home one day, he makes all the difference. But guys, if we're not careful, our kids will end up far, far, far from home. Little illustration. Last night, I guess I got to stay here. I like to roam. I got to stay here where you can hear me. Yesterday, I was out playing with the kids. We're out there. We're fixed to go get Mother's Day gifts, and we were giving the dog a little attention. Dog needs a little attention, too, right? So we're out playing with Pete, and he's running around. I'm throwing the ball, swinging the kids, trying to spread my love and affection around, do the things I need and want to do. So Pete's playing, and I hadn't run him enough, and I knew he hadn't run enough, and I knew when I mentioned this, I knew the reaction I was going to get, but I thought it was funny. I shouldn't have been joking about it. When I get him all worked up and get him tired, I can say, Pete, kennel, and usually he'll go back into his kennel, or he'll at least stay there with me. Sometimes I have to throw the ball in the kennel, and he's got a pretty big cage. But I knew I hadn't run him enough, and I knew he was going to do this. But since he had the ball in his mouth, I thought I could get him to turn around. The kids were out there. I said, y'all watch this. I said, Pete, let's go back and get back in your kennel. And I said, go get in your kennel, Pete. And I got the reaction I knew I was going to get, but I couldn't get him turned around. He turned and he took off running toward that fence. And I said, come on, Pete, bring me a ball, bring me a ball. And I'm telling you, he hit that fence. And I actually had the fence open. I don't even have to close the fence. As long as I'm playing with him, it's kind of like your children. As long as you're playing with them, they'll stay right there beside you. But when you don't give them the attention they need, they start wandering off. And they're going to find something that'll give them attention. So, and he didn't want to go back in that kennel. I knew he wasn't ready for it. So when I said kennel, he bolted. I thought, well, here I go. I got to go catch a dog before we go get Mother's Day gifts. So I did. I jumped in the truck, and I immediately struck down East Main Street. I couldn't find him. Now, normally he's got a routine. He'll go one way. He'll turn back around. I can usually pull up beside him and say, Pete, get up in the truck. And he'll jump right back in the truck, and I'll take him back to his kennel. Well, I couldn't find him. I drove up East Main Street, drove around this way, drove by the railroad circle. I made the loop by Miss Pat's and come around Dollar General and just couldn't find him anywhere. And it was frustrating, man, because even though it's Saturday, not much traffic on the road, a dog that's out, people absolutely panic. Oh, my gosh, a dog. You know, what are we going to do? We got to take care of him. And so I'm trying to get him, and I can't find him. So we went on going to cut. He normally, after about 30 minutes of making his rounds, he'll come back and lay on the porch. I thought, well, he'll come back home. So I rode around, gave him a little time before we actually went to Mother's Day gift. He didn't come back home. So finally we went to Mother's Day gifts. I got back home an hour or two later, a couple hours later. He wasn't at home. I thought, oh, man. You know, usually he's back home. I thought, well, he's venturing out. He'll be back. So I still kept looking. I still kept calling. I've got a preacher voice, a loud voice. I can call all the way through Faultful, and if he hears me, he'll come. Well, evidently, he wasn't in Faultful. But I kept looking, and last night I thought, well, you know, social media is an amazing tool if you use the right way. So I tried to get my wife to do it. She said, that's embarrassing. I'm not putting anything on Facebook about the dog. So I had to let go of my pride, and I put something on Facebook. I said, you know, my dog's missing. He got loose once again. You know, I wasn't talking about all the negligence on my part. I said, he's loose, and I said, anybody seen him, you know, call this number or respond to this Facebook page, post. Well, people love animals. I mean, they shared it real quick. People started sharing it. I woke up this morning, and Miss Karen, our next-door neighbor, Miss Karen, Aunt Karen, it's McKenzie's aunt, and Daniel and our neighbor, they said, I'll get Alex to put it on Facebook and look for Track My Paws. She can find it. So she finds it on Track My Paws and calls it. I'm a member of all these posts and groups. But she finds a picture of him. Somebody said that he's at Love's. They picked him up at Love's truck stop, and they took him. And I thought he was in Coleman because it was a Coleman. It was posted on Track My Paws, Coleman, and Fall. So I have to go join the group, and I find the person on Facebook. I'm sending them a message that's saying, please, thank you, my dog. Thank you for finding my dog. When can I come get him? Can I get him after lunch? Evidently, they slept in this morning. I didn't hear, but Miss Karen, and two of my friends were saying, we've also left the messages. We'll help you get him back. We'll bring him back to you. I said, good, because I'm tied up with Mother's Day and church, and I said, that'd be great. You know, just latch the kennel, you know, and bring him back, and thank you so much. You know, you're blessed. And so this lady texts me this morning. I'm over there just finishing up a few of the things in my study, and she says, I think I have your dog, and I'm going to read it exactly to you. She said, I think we have your dog.
said, "She said, I think we have your dog. I'm pretty sure we have your dog Thief." I said, "That's great. Can I pick him up around lunch?" I said, "I'm at church at 11:45. She said, "We talked to a lady, Portia Shadden, which is in our community. We found him while traveling home to Montgomery. We told him that we could meet her at meet you halfway in Montevallo." So this good Samaritan, sweet lady, like people are going to do your children, they're going to pick them up, trying to lead them right, trying to help them. And next thing you know, your children will be way far from home. So Pete's in Montgomery. Now, it just so happens, I'm going to Calera today for Mother's Day. So what a blessing. I said, "Well, we're going to come to Calera, and it's closer." I said, "Is Calera or Jemison better? We can meet you anytime after 2. She said, "Calera's fine." I said, "The 228 exit, there's a Chevron there." I said, "Anytime after 2 is good." She said, "I'll meet you at 2:30. Now, that's a cool story, and I'm glad I can see my dog and I can tell you that story. But, guys, I got up during the night. I didn't sleep good. I got up this morning, and it would have killed me to think I'd never see my dog. Now, I sometimes wish I could give him away, or if y'all want a good lab and do a good home, I could put him on you. But I would hate not to ever know where he is again. And you say, "Why do you tell that story?" Well, our children, they're going to want to explore. They're going to want to go out. And there's a lot of people that are going to come across as friendly, nice, and they're going to woo your children in places that are going to take them a long way from home. Pete, he was in a car. This young lady had her arm around him. I'm sure she was well-meaning. I'm sure she was trying to, but he found himself way long way from home. Our children, our most prized possessions, we got to love them, guys. We got to keep them restricted, give them a little room, care about them, keep them in those, listen to them, show them unconditional love, and pray that God keeps them close and on the right path. What a wonderful privilege and responsibility we have. Let us be faithful. Let us be diligent. Jesus makes all the difference. Point your kids to Jesus. Trust him in his care. I keep my little Savannah all the time. She says, "Daddy, I feel like you're never going to let me." I said, "Baby, I said, if you show yourself and prove yourself, I said, you're going to have freedom. You're going to be able to go out. You're going to have to let those curfews get later. We're going to have to trust you and trust the Lord." But it's in the realm of love and care and leading and discipline and correction and nurture that we give a little bit more and we pray a little bit more and we trust the Lord to take care of them. Man, lead them. Let them see your message. Protect them, pray for them, and man, let's just pray that the Lord will keep them on the right track. It's not, we don't have all the answers, but we better be taking the right steps, or we'll find them far, far, far from home. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you that you care about us, and you love us, God. We thank you that you've created us with a purpose. And Lord, the family unit is a unit you've created as a man leaves his mother and father and he cleaves into a wife and you bless them with children. And Lord, the home is a place that gives us a little bit of a reality of the Garden of Eden. Lord, as we're trusting you and walking close to you, God, I pray that boys and girls would be protected by their moms and dads. I pray that they would be taught, instructed, loved unconditionally, taught wise instruction. Lord, that there'd be a lot of laughter in their homes. There would be, God, a lot of freedom as they trust you and give a little bit, protect. God, we pray for your sovereign rule and reign over all of our lives, protection. And I thank you so much for those that are here this morning. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our moms, our dads, leading the home faithfully. We need you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.